Good evening and welcome to the fifth installment of Two Old Dolphins Podcast. I'm Scott Quiggle.
And I'm Alex Hines.
When we last left off, we were talking about what we needed to see out of the Baltimore game or what we felt like we needed to see. Now that we're in that brief pause between the end of preseason and the beginning of the regular season, let's just spend a minute or two talking about whether we saw what we wanted to see.
And what else are we going to cover in today's show?
We will just spend about a second talking about the Falcons game. Because I think to most fans out there, no one gives a shit. But let's focus most of the podcast on talking about our roster going into the regular season.
We will. And we got to touch upon the Titan game.
Right. Definitely.
Well, okay, let's go.
Alex, did you see anything in the Baltimore game?
Anything what? That wasn't troubling? Yes. Well, I did, actually. There are some positive things that I want to...
I have a few positive things, too.
Yeah, I have a couple, but I have a couple of things that really disturb me is, again, how bad our team is right now in getting the ball in the end zone with our first team.
Right.
I mean, there's something lacking. I think the numbers are something like, let me see here. The Dolphins offense produced 221 net yards against a Raven team that didn't really start anybody. They did as a, I don't know if it's a favor or this, I don't know what it was, but they didn't start anybody. Not their starting quarterback, not their starting defense.
Yeah, I heard Harbaugh say that he just didn't want to risk his starters in the rain.
Okay. Fair enough. But it really, we did not show very well for a team that did not. And we made their quarterback, their backup quarterback, Lamar Jackson, look like a hero.
Well, that was in the second half against our scrubs.
Okay, fair enough. But he looked like a hero. What I did like about the team, okay, first of all, that was the number one thing. I'm very disturbed, the lack of offense, lack of execution. Finally, they got a pass to our little...
I actually saw a decent amount of good offense.
They didn't get in the end zone.
Well, there's that. Okay,
but that's the same story we had last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if you circle around and analyze it, is it our offense that's the problem or is it our discipline that's the problem?
Both. We keep getting terrible calls, holding offside. It's almost looks undisciplined. They do look undisciplined. Mm-hmm. And really what I saw on the offensive side of the ball was a team that's going to move up and down the field and kick a lot of field goals.
A lot of what we saw last year, only a little bit more efficient. I mean, there were a lot of three and outs last year. I think we're going to see less of those unless Gase falls into his horrible play calling pattern again and teams are just, you know, predicting what he's going to do on a every play basis. But I liked what I saw out of the offense until it came to self-destruct time.
They seem to run pass block okay, but again, they were going against a second team defense.
Right. It's so hard to make a judgment that we thought we were going to be able to make against our first team offense, against their first team defense. It was really the measuring stick that we did not get.
We didn't see Flacco in there. There was nothing there as far as our defense even. Even though there's some things I want to highlight there that I really liked. But offensively, Drake looked explosive.
Yep. I love Drake. I think he has all the potential to be a superstar. He showed it in the last four games of last season. I guess my biggest concern about him, and maybe we said, you know, at some point we'll touch upon fantasy aspects too.
Yeah, we should about, well, right. not that there's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, it'll be a short discussion.
It'll be quickly.
Yeah.
Maybe the kicker. I think... at the end of the day, our kicker might end up being the best fantasy.
Yeah,
relevance.
Now that we know which kicker we have, maybe I'll go drop the one I have and pick that one up, or wait for that crucial injury on the opening kickoff.
Well, I'm actually playing you in the first game of the U.S. Green Fantasy League.
Yeah, there's a little smack talk that's warming up because Alex and I are in that league together that we drafted a few weeks ago, and sure enough, we go against each other the first week head to head. So.
Okay, back to the Raven game. Offensively, again, Yes, we did see that. We did see the ball. They moved it up and down. The field goal only, lack of execution. We finally saw Gesicki catch a ball.
That's right. I stood up and celebrated, and I think I said the exact same thing the announcer said. Oh, Gesicki finally caught a ball.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about our team. You know where
he
is.
Can we analyze one catch? He looked big. He reached up and got it. He was clearly a superior athlete.
He was wide open.
He was wide open.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, why the kid gets one pass?
I hope you can hear the sarcasm in my voice.
Yeah, why the kid gets one pass is ridiculous. I like our rookie class.
Oh, I know why. Gase has said it now. He has come out and said it. He's keeping him under wraps. He's keeping him a secret. Well, it's that thing that expostulated about it, right? It's
okay. Here's the part where I have a little problem. We just released today our depth chart.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what string Gesicki is?
Oh no, I didn't see it. Tell me. I have to guess.
He's not first.
Second.
He's not second.
That's unreal.
It's ridiculous. The depth chart as we're heading into Tennessee is Gary first, Derby second, Gesicki third. He's our third string. Of course, we kept
four. You mean
four.
Gray?
Yes, Greg. So I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. Greg first, Derby second, Gesicki third. Those are our three starting. Those are our three tight ends. He's not even listed the second. And then our running backs.
Maybe Gase is just following through on a super secret plan. Let's put him so far down the depth chart they don't even expect him, and then wham.
Well, the Dolphins. I tell you, if that is
more sarcasm,
if that is reality of the way Miami is thinking, it boggles the mind that you would actually think it's a great idea to get a great talent and let's bury him in our chart. I mean,
not use him during preseason. You know, the one thing that I wish that one of us had, well, I wish I had, is credentials. It would be really interesting to see how practice went up against what we saw in the preseason games. You know, how much was he getting used in practice? Numbers, right? Is there any connection between our starting quarterback and our rookie tight end that's supposed to be this future superstar? You know what? I always say we don't drink the Kool-Aid. I drank the Kool-Aid on him. I did. During the offseason, all the talk, the write-ups, the videos,
okay,
all that.
Okay, let's talk about, let's sprinkle in a little fantasy relevance as far as he's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You drafted him. Last pick, I got it,
Last pick in the whole draft.
Okay, whatever, you drafted him. The kid is not even a second string.
Miami Dolphins third string tight end.
Third string tight end. It's unreal.
Possibly the funniest draft pick ever.
If you think about it, you drafted a guy that's not even second stringer in his own team. Now, should he be a first stringer? Yes.
Uh-huh.
Is there any reason why he's not? It's beyond all of us.
Yeah,
but that's where he is right now. And I'll tell you a little more fantasy relevance. You drafted Drake.
Yes, I did.
Which... we all like him. We love him.
He was a steal in the seventh round.
Today, the charts came out, and they are both listed, him and Gore, as the starting running backs.
Yeah, you know, Gase said he was going to do that from the beginning.
Okay. There goes your fantasy.
Well, it depends on how it plays out in reality, right? I mean, it should be Drake gets
the Raven
80,
game.
85%.
The Raven game. Why does Gase start Gore? It's ridiculous. He's sending the wrong message.
He is.
He's sending a message that Drake, you're not my man. I don't believe in you. I don't trust you. I think you can make a good play here and there, but I need to have someone else because I don't trust you.
Who had all the explosive plays that we saw, you know, with the starters? He had all of them, didn't he?
Well,
did against Baltimore. He had a great run that he busted, and
he looked great against the second-string defense.
Yeah.
It's just not a confidence builder when you don't start on your own team, and you were the most productive back in the last four or five games of the season last year.
Yeah.
That's why I never drafted him in fantasy. As much as I love him, I just don't trust Gase. I trust Drake, but look at it again. He's not starting this kid. He's not listing him as a starter. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Come Sunday, if we march out there for the first offensive play and there's Gore starting and not Drake, I'm going to boo very loudly. And everyone listening to this is going to hear me boo when it comes time for our next podcast.
Fair enough. I mean, he's going to – listen, we're going to see what happens and how Gase uses it. But let's take a look at this game with the Ravens. What we saw that was positive.
If we come out and get blown out against Tennessee and he doesn't use Drake, I'm just going to start chanting Harbaugh.
Well, he's going to listen.
Harbaugh.
He's going to use him because he's got no choice. But is he going to be efficient? Is he going to use him in the right situations? That remains to be seen. We already know that the tight end is a funny issue right now. Just the fact that he's third listed in the depth chart alone, that you have to scratch your head. I don't know who's he trying to trick or fool, but I think it just looks ridiculous.
Alex and I met Jim Harbaugh when he was the backup quarterback for the Chargers.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Nice guy. I think he was in one of those golf carts.
Yep.
Okay, now back to the game. a couple of things that I saw. Of the rookie class, by far the best rookies.
Minka.
Yep. Fitzpatrick.
Yep.
Now,
it was obvious.
I saw that game before you did, and I told you.
Oh, yeah, so I looked for it when I was watching.
And
it.
The way he read those plays, how explosive he looked, how fast he was playing.
You can tell right away that he has a natural football instinct.
He's got
he
that
has a
it
nose
factor.
For the ball.
It yep. factor. He's yep. a playmaker.
Yep.
And I'll tell you.
We have a great future with him if we use him right.
Two things that are very noticeable. He played a lot of snaps.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from Pro Football Focus. So I looked at this, and he played 66 snaps.
Wow, for a preseason game.
Well, total. You know, I mean, that's probably in the last couple of games.
Okay.
He defended 4 passes. 2 of them were completed for 2 yards.
I love
Fitzpatrick
that.
Rates as the best rookie in the entire first round.
Oh, my God, that's exciting.
We finally hit gold. After all the Jordan, after all the Averys back in the day, and all these busts that we've had in the first round, we hit gold with this kid, and he hasn't played a down in the NFL, you know, officially, in a regular season game. This kid looks fast. He looks smart. He's the hardest worker. They're saying that he's staying and watching film the longest of any of the DBs. He's working his tail off, and it's showing. I mean, the kid plays fast. I love his attitude. I really think it's a tremendous winner.
I still wish he was going to be playing free safety, but the way I see both Jones and McDonald playing right now, I'm not having quite as big of a problem with him with not finding a way to get Minka in as a center fielder. Right?
You know.
So if he can contribute in that.
He's a natural free safety.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. It's a matter of time before he takes over that spot. But for now, having him play close to the line of scrimmage and defend the way he's playing, I mean, it's an honor. It's such a pleasure to watch this kid out there. Yeah, he's great.
And as long as Burke and Gase and company find a way to keep him on the field all the time, most of the time, not just nickel, I'm good.
Well, I mean, this kid is a, you know, he's a diamond on a gold plate. He is the ace. I love him. The other guy that had really impressed me was Vincent Taylor.
Yeah.
I mean, this kid is playing his ass off. I mean, that is a player. Deflected a pass, blocked that field goal.
Right.
He had 2 tackles. I mean, the guy impressed me. He impresses the heck out of me. I really love him. Now, he's not starting for us. I don't know why he's not starting.
Well, you know who else showed up as a dominant force in preseason? A guy that we've been looking to show up as a dominant force forever.
Okay.
Another defensive tackle. Phillips.
Yeah, he did, but I think Taylor's more impressive.
Phillips was that big, but he wasn't in there all the time. So,
but Taylor,
you know, I need to go back and look
Taylor
at...
Taylor looked dominant.
Yeah.
Dominant, and he's still not starting. I don't know why, but he's not starting. But
that will be a high level of rotation, that defensive tackle. I think we'll see Taylor and Godchaw.
Again, why don't you reward your stars?
Yes.
You see, in sports, and you and I both play sports.
Right.
And, you know,
the psychology of it.
I got to tell you, if I work my tail off and I know that I'm out playing people in practice and I'm more skilled and I'm still not the starter, I'm not listed as the starter.
You're pissed off.
I mean,
I've been pissed off.
At the end of the day, that's not, to maybe it's a motivator to some, but I got to tell you, most athletes, after a while, they just don't get it and they want to be out of there. Because they're not being rewarded for their hard work. Taylor is the hardest worker.
Coaching, right? That's what leads to quitting on a coach.
I mean, if you look at a guy like Drake, he deserves to be the starter. It's that simple. It's that black and white.
The eyeball test alone.
The fact that Gore started that game, I still boggles the mind. It just, you sit there, you go, why? And you know, I'm a UMer.
Yep.
I love Gore. I've met Gore when he was a kid.
Yeah, you and I saw him. We're so happy that we signed him.
Yeah.
I thought it was another, you know, old man move.
No, it's a brilliant move.
Case has shown a penchant for, but you convinced me that it was smart and why it was smart.
It's
leadership.
Now, if he is used correctly, Gore is a tremendous asset. Look, he's not going to be a disruption in the locker room. He's never been. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get in trouble with the law. He never has. He's going to outwork every single person in that locker room because he's always done that. And he's historically known as just a hardworking, you know, just a great back, a smart back. He's going to teach Drake how to take care of his body, how to prepare himself for the games. But he's a mentor. He's not a starter.
Right.
He should touch the ball 9 times a game.
Yep, totally agree.
Drake should take over this job, and we'll see what happens on Sunday. But I'm scared. I'm scared, and that's why when we talk about fantasy relevance right now, I don't even know who can we play. If in a fantasy team, I love our tight end. I think Gesicki has all the chance in the world to be a. It's hard for a rookie tight end to shine anyway in any of these fantasies.
Yeah, but there's been plenty of examples of them. I mean, you loved Jimmy Graham before he played the first down.
That's right.
And then he came out there and just, you know, with Drew Brees throwing at him right away in his rookie year, dominated. He was a superstar.
He had Drew Brees.
Yeah.
He had Drew Brees. Well, I mean,
he has Aaron Rodgers now.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think he's in for a decent year. But Rodgers is not known as a quarterback that likes to throw to his tight end.
He never has been. So,
Maybe he'll change with having a guy like Grant, but like Graham. But talking about Grant, so we'll talk about the receivers. But I wanted to say in the Raven game, that's what I saw. That's what my takeaways were. I'm highly impressed with a couple of defensive players. I wasn't impressed with Baker or any of these other guys. They just didn't show me much.
I didn't see much of them at all. They were on the field, but they weren't around the ball making many plays.
Nothing that I saw. I thought McDonald had a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Jones had a good game. I mean, our core guys were out there, but for the rest of our class, the running back Balazs, well, he was out, right? He played in the second half. No, he didn't play.
No, he didn't play in the Baltimore game.
He didn't play in that game at
all. He started the Falcons game.
He looked really good in the other game, which I don't even know we should talk much about the Falcon game. It was our offense came alive with our second string. Okay.
Yeah, to the fans, this is the most meaningless game in the world. But I was listening to some players talk about it, especially those late round pick type of guys.
Yeah, that's their time.
Yeah, he's like, there's never a more important game in the world because your dreams, your life,
It's on the line. No, I mean, right? I hate to minimize
it. There's a lot for those guys to play for. But as fans, we're so done with preseason by the time we get to game 4. I didn't even watch the whole game. It's the second one I didn't watch all of.
Yeah, so. The second one, it's tough to digest that. And it's just hard. So should we look ahead? Should we look at our roster first, right? I mean, what it's your thoughts?
Yeah, well, one of the things that came out of the Falcon game is, you know, neither one of the, I guess you could say that Osweiler looked better than Fails, right? So.
Okay.
So I was worried that it's just, I don't even, I'm going to waste my breath too much on this because Osweiler and Fales, they're terrible.
Tannehill goes down. The season goes down. It's over.
I guess we're kind of repetitive. I've heard a lot of other people say that too.
It's done. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, these guys are horrific. We just don't have a good backup. We didn't draft a good backup. It is what it is.
But we just picked up. So this is a thing I don't think I've ever seen before. I was racking my brain to think of any example I ever saw going into the regular season having four quarterbacks on your roster.
We have four. Hmm.
We've got Tannehill, Osweiler, Fales, and we picked up this guy, Luke Falk, from the Titans. Now,
I'm sure we're going to cut somebody.
Who?
I don't know. I was thinking we should.
Falk is, you know, I read a little bit about him, get to understand him. He's somebody that they were trying to draft at one point. He was on their board, and they were all high about him. They talked about him, you know. And then, you know, the Titans picked him. And then I got to thinking about it. I'm like, is this an actual Gase making a Belichickian move here? Where he brings in somebody that was quarterback for the first the team that we're playing against in the first game of the season to get game plan and scheme out of somebody, you know? Obviously not. I don't give Gase and company that kind of credit yet. They've never shown the smarts and the capability to do that, but we're not in the room with them, so I don't know. But the things I read about him is that, you know, he's a highly accurate quarterback, and if there's any question about him, it's his arm strength, and that's something that can be developed, and that he's a bit of a project but could potentially be something. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him within a day or two move to the practice squad and somebody that's on the practice squad getting cut.
Hmm. Okay.
Should we move to just roster as a whole?
Let's
talk about cuts. Was there anyone that you were surprised or didn't want to see cut that was cut?
I'm a big fan of Ford, the young receiver. I think he's got speed. He showed a lot of tenacity and really wish we would have kept him.
Well, in a way we did.
Oh, his practice squad, right?
Right. Yeah, so he's on the team. He's on our practice squad.
I don't know. Not a big fan of watching that kid leave us. Well, I mean, the practice squad is okay. But that was my biggest. How about you?
Cut-wise, I thought Tony Lippett might have been a mistake. So I just remember Lippett being that type of guy that was tall and rangy and also sort of had a nose for the ball. Mm-hmm. And it was clear over the course of, you know, his role at corner that he was learning fast and getting better on a, you know, regular basis. And then he had the injury. So obviously an injury like that to a speed position is going to take a long time to recover from. So in my head, I'm thinking, you know, this is just something that you want to keep the guy because you already know he's got growth and potential, and it's going to take a while for
tremendous him. Talent when he was playing, when he was okay. Yeah.
So maybe he just didn't heal right from the injury, and they know this. Another thing for not being close enough to the team where we have to guess at, you know, why they didn't stay with him and let him come all the way back around.
And by the way, I just looked up Luke Falk, and yeah, he was the kid at Washington State.
Oh, okay.
That they had looked at him as our potential draft pick.
Yep.
And
I remember talking about it.
Yeah, and I actually, you know, they said we were scouting him really tight, so maybe he's one of those guys. I mean, I'm hoping sixth round pick. He was a sixth round pick of Tennessee.
Yeah, everyone. Every time somebody gets picked in the sixth round, they're like, "Well, remember Brady was picked in the sixth round."
That's exactly the first thing that came to my mind. So it was the old Brady got picked in the sixth round.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So, nothing else was a surprise. I, you know, when we picked up Langford And
that was kind of nice.
Yeah, everyone said, oh, he's just a body for camp.
And right? He played pretty well.
And then he actually, right, he played well. And then I've been reading and listening to a lot of stuff, and they're like, well, he's playing so well that it looks like he may make the team. And so, you know, maybe that was just conjecture that I bought into a little bit. So I maybe raised an eyebrow when I saw he was cut. Didn't go any farther than that.
Well, we picked up another receiver today.
That's right.
So our receiving corps is Parker, who's out, I don't know, maybe another game or two. We don't know. Stills, Amendola, Grant. And Grant is our kick returner and our punter, according to the depth chart.
Hmm.
So Grant's going to do double duties on that.
What's Brandon Bolden's role going to be?
Special teams?
Right, I know he's a special teams maven. He's just a flyer, or is he...
I don't know, but he's a pretty good returner. Pretty good little running back.
Yeah.
You know, when they play, he was pretty efficient. He's just one of these guys is an all-out baller in the special teams.
The new receiver, somebody we signed away from, we didn't sign away, that he was cut. He was waived by New Orleans. It may be that New Orleans wanted to keep him on the practice squad, and we signed him before they could, but it's Tanner McAvoy. This guy is 6'6", Alex.
Well...
Tallest guy on the team now. Well,
how big is our tight end there, Gusecki? Isn't he like 6'6", 6'5"?
Okay, maybe the tightest of wide receivers.
Wide receiver.
He's also listed as 6'6".
Oh, yeah, they're two big guys.
Yeah. And actually, both our tight ends, rookies, are 6'6".
So Tannehill's going to work extra hard to overthrow those guys.
Durham Smith, yeah.
That's going to be, yeah.
Yeah, they still have to work on their jumping skills.
Listen, at the end of the day, this roster, we gave away so much talent this year. We lost, yeah. You know, guys, when you lose guys in your team and they're cut from other teams or they're buried in some chart somewhere, our guys are starting running backs, wide receiver. I'm talking running back, Ajayi. Yeah. We've got a starting wide receiver and of course, Landry.
And the starting defensive tackle.
Starting defensive tackle and the best defense in the NFL, in my opinion, the Rams. Everybody talks about Jacksonville. I'll take the Rams over Jacksonville.
I did a lot of reading about the money and the everything around Sue, and we all know how much we hated the deal when it first happened. And
quarterback money for a defensive tackle.
Thought it was
tackle.
Ridiculous and was, you know... I remember seeing all the posts on boards about how the fanboys were all excited, and I just kept shaking my head. I'm like, this is the dumbest, maybe the dumbest signing we've ever done. But
and he said he went to Miami because he wanted to win.
Yeah. It really seemed like we should have. I do understand the economics behind it, but it's still, if we had a good GM or a really smart, clever wheeler and dealer, that we would have gotten something out of him. We wouldn't have just have to flat cut him.
Yeah, but that same GM was the guy that got us in this, but well, he's not our GM anymore, but he was the one who signed that disgusting contract and put us in the same mess that we're in right now.
I'm just saying that we had to cut him. We had to cut the best tackle.
And what did we get with Landry? A fourth round pick? What did we get with Ajayi? A fourth round pick?
Right, fourth.
And Carew, we gave up three picks for him.
And he's still on the team.
We have him now on the practice squad. Because nobody will pick him up.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's terrible. I'm not happy with those moves. And I think our squad, as it is right now, it's got some talent. I'm not a big fan in our receivers. I'm not a big fan in our defense, the way it's structured, and in our way our quarterback is not finishing drives. I mean, all those things are concerning coming into the start of the season.
I'm not sure I blame the quarterback. I'm pretty sure I blame a combination of the person calling the plays and the lack of discipline on the team, because I swear to God, every time we get down there in the green zone, we have crucial penalties.
Again, we can't judge this, but the last game, we talked about this off the air, that, you know, the last game, Scott, was the first game that really Gase did not make any, there wasn't a play calling. He wasn't doing any other play calling, and our team exploded.
Yeah.
I mean, it exploded.
I watched of it, though, was the same dink and dunk plays for the most part.
For what it's worth, we scored.
We never throw mid-range passes. It's really rare when we put one up.
We just start throwing to our third string tight end. I think he'll probably step it up. I don't know. I'll trade you for him. Jeez, I mean, it's unreal. So, okay, so the season's upon us. Here it is, Tennessee. You predicted a victory.
I did.
I think I predicted a loss on that game.
You don't remember what you
I
predicted?
Don't remember. I know at the end of the year I'm 6-10. That's what I predicted. So I'm hoping we can win this game.
Back to two old guy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I don't remember.
Bottom line is, I took a look at the last six games that these teams have played. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's a long history because if you count them, they're actually the Houston Oilers.
Right.
So we played 37 times. We've won 20. They've won 17. Mm-hmm. The last six games is LW, LW, LW. The last W belonged to us.
Right.
So
it was also in Miami. It was last year.
And it
Jay
was
Cutler actually won that game, but they didn't have their starting quarterback.
No. He
and we
was
just
out.
Ate that backup alive.
He was out. Our defense stepped it up. It was but if you follow the pattern, it looks like we got an L coming our way.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it is.
Talking about patterns.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Not that means much, but it's been LW, 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 LW all the way through. And now here we are, first game of the season. I think our team has a lot of questions, as we all do, but I believe that this game will be tight. I think our kicker is going to be very active. I think if you want to pick up a good fantasy, I think he's the best fantasy gem out there. The only problem is he is a rookie.
Right.
So we don't know how his head's going to be.
His accuracy is going to be. Yeah.
Well, his accuracy seems very good. I mean, the preseason is an indicator.
Yeah.
He's a seventh-round pick, right?
Right.
Yeah, there you go. That's a great, great spot for a kicker. Yeah, the kid's got a good leg, you know?
I think...
He'll probably get scored... I think he's scoring 10 points for sure this game. Maybe 11.
I think our defensive line pass rush is going to be very disruptive this year. Robert Quinn is the other person who sold me on his capabilities during preseason. There's another person to highlight. I don't remember whether we highlighted him yet or not, but I'm sold. I'm like, we have a starting right defensive end who in pass rushing situations is going to dominate.
Yeah, we got Branch, who's making a pretty good paycheck, not even starting also.
Yeah, he's a couple of layers back, isn't he?
I don't know. He's probably second string. Yeah. Who knows at this stage? But he doesn't look very good. And I think, look, Tennessee is a team that has a strong, strong running game.
Yeah, and I worry about that, especially the middle of our defense.
That could be a problem. They got a strong running game. They got a scrambling quarterback who historically has destroyed the Dolphins. We've never done well against a scrambler.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what history do we have with Marcus Mariota?
No, not against him, but scrambling quarterbacks. Yeah. We've just never done well against scrambling quarterbacks.
That's about containment, right?
Running quarterbacks. It's one of those things we haven't done really well against. And I think that's going to be challenging to contain him. They've got Davis is one of the best young receivers that's coming up. They have a pretty good team. Their tight end Watson, it's a guy that, you know, it's a load. And, you know, we historically,
yes,
I don't know how the hell we're going to cover tight ends this year. Is
very
it gonna
worried
be,
about that, too.
Was it going to be Baker or is it going to be Kiko who cannot cover his own shadow?
No.
I mean, it's the same problems. I don't know if we've addressed those issues. I don't think we have.
Yeah. Well, it depends what set they come out in, right? I mean, if it's a one or two tight end with two wide receiver set, then we could put Minkah Fitzpatrick on him, and I'd be okay with that.
I'm comfortable with him covering anybody.
Yeah.
But
if it's a three wide out, one tight end set, then Minka's got to cover the other wide receiver, and who's going to be on the tight end?
Baker.
Okay. So you got the depth chart. Is he the starting?
Yes, he is. Baker is the starting. So he's starting. It's just, McCain is our corner with Howard. So that's another challenge because if McCain pans out, mm-hmm. then we got a bargain
Right.
But he's never.
Last time I looked at money, he was making more money than all of our.
Yeah, but corners. but he was being he's the highest Howard. Paid. He's the highest paid. Nickel back, slot coverage guy. Mm. But he, when it comes to big money on the corners, he's not making that.
Right.
So if that works out, it's him and Howard's been playing, hot and cold. He seems to shut down our guys, but, he did have a little trouble there in the preseason. Our safeties have been playing solid, and like we said, and our defensive line seems to be very solid, at least in the corners and the ends. Mm. They seem to be, Quinn is playing, and, we always have Old Reliable out there, Cameron Wake.
Cameron Wake, yes.
I mean, that guy is amazing, and, he turns back to the hand of time, it seems like, every year and goes out there and gets double-digit sacks, which is amazing.
It is amazing.
Amazing.
He's amazing.
So I think our team is solid. It has great characters on it. But like I said, they're solid. What I mean is that, we're okay. But we're going to have a challenge against Tennessee. And I see this game coming down to the wire.
Right. Rookie head coach, and we now have their game plan because we hired Luke Falk.
It's a brilliant idea. But I don't know. I still see us losing this game on a tight one.
I definitely, when we did our predictions, I had... the whole osmosis process where if you hear the same thing over and over again, even if you know it's not true, you start to believe in it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'd been preparing for this podcast by re-immersing myself after trying to quit being such a fan by reading a ton and listening to a ton of other stuff. And I started to buy into some of the hype. I certainly bought into the hype about Gesicki. And so that's how I came out with 9-7. But
that's why you drafted him, right?
It was the last pick in the draft, and I'm just like, okay, I'm going to take a flyer on this
kid.
You
took a third string.
Well, he wasn't third string at the time, so.
He was no string at the time.
Right.
Okay, it's not bad. I mean, listen, I love the kid. I like to bug you about it. I want the kid to shine.
Well, I have Travis Kelce, so he doesn't ever have to see the playing field.
Trust me, he never will in fantasy. Not the way this thing is set up, but I think the kid has all the talent in the world, and used correctly, he should be seeing more than whatever he saw in the preseason, 3 targets or whatever that was, which was just sickening.
Yeah.
I mean, he needed to see the ball a lot more.
He needs to have those end zone targets.
He should
have those crucial third down targets. I mean, we are an utter failure at 3rd and 8 or more, aren't we?
We got 3.
He should be getting those targets on 3rd and 8.
Listen, we got 4 rookies, 5
third
rookies.
3rd and 10, 3rd and 12.
Okay, we got 5 rookies that are going to contribute a lot in this team.
That's interesting, at the least.
Yeah,
right?
Needless to say, the guy which is the star of them all is going to be Fitzpatrick. Our
Agreed.
Best fantasy relevance by far is going to be our kicker. Sanders is going to be, the...
Oh, well, I hope that Drake is.
He's a rookie. He's not a rookie.
Well, okay.
I said there's going to be
five... You're just talking about rookies.
I said there's going to be 5 rookies contributing, and the best fantasy one is going to be our kicker, Sanders. Our Balazs is going to, I think, eventually, not early on, but eventually as the season goes on, and barring hopefully no injuries, but if there is one, I think he's going to do very, very well. We showed us a lot in the times he was there. Quickness, speed.
Yep, I liked what I saw.
Strength.
Hands for catching the
ball. Great hands.
Yep. Yeah, if there's an injury, then we ought to see him.
I mean, the kid did score 8 touchdowns. I don't care if he didn't start or whatever you want to say. Yeah. 8 touchdowns in a college game. You've got to be good.
Yep.
So, anyway, he's going to contribute. Gesicki, I think, eventually will contribute. And maybe his confidence is not there. Maybe he hasn't learned to play. I don't know what the story is. But eventually, I think he'll become a first stringer.
Maybe he's such a secret that Gase saves him for the second half of the season. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe the last game.
Yeah.
But
you'll see him at garbage time when we can't make the playoffs, then he'll bring out to Gesicki and he'll go crazy.
Like Grant.
Exactly.
Yeah, Grant we all kept wondering where Grant was last season. And then... late in the season, somehow they
guarantee you, if that happens, that scenario I just said, I will just be writing, we'll be podcasting, I'll be posting blog posts. God, get Harbaugh, get rid of this guy, Gase.
You know, We'll see how this is the season where Gase has to show us
he is the head coach. I'm rooting for him. It doesn't sound
like we all are.
I want him to be awesome. I want him to grow and learn and improve constantly, learn from his mistakes, get better.
But I'm gonna beat a dead horse here hopefully not even a dead horse yet, but I'm gonna say it again. Gesicki is our third stringer and Gore and Drake are co-starting running backs. That alone scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Doesn't make any sense.
No.
I mean, we're not the New England Patriots here.
Nope.
You know, and then to come up with this type of, hidden shenanigans, I don't know what he's doing, coded, chart, whatever, doesn't make any sense. But those things are scaring me. Let's see how this first game unfolds. Let's see how these guys, particularly Drake and Gesicki, how are they used this first game? What is your prediction on it?
Yeah, so... I think a couple things are going to happen. I think we are actually going to see a lot more of Drake.
Because what does that mean?
It means that Drake is going to get 75% of the touches, at least.
Of all the running back touches.
Yes. Of all the running back touches. Okay. I think he's going to get almost equal amount of carries and catches. I still have a positive outlook until I see it go the other way.
I think it's going to go 60-40, Drake to Gore, and I think Gore's going to get all the goal line runs. That's just me.
I can't put up a strong argument against that. So,
which I'm okay with it if it's efficient. If it's successful, yeah. We're not rooting for one guy or the other. We want the Dolphins to win.
No.
But then Gesicki, I think we'll see probably 2 to 3 targets probably in this game. And I think that's going to be it.
Do you think he's going to get on the playing field being that buried in the
chart? He will. He will, but I just think he'll see 2 to 3 targets. I'm not counting
on him for fantasy. That was just a whim.
I know you're
but
not.
But I want to see him. I want to see him.
We all want to see him. Yeah. He looks like an Ertz. He looks like that kind of a guy. Mm-hmm. That tremendous agility, tremendous athletic ability, the dunking champion in the state of Jersey.
We have to use him. We should be designing plays for him. There should be a number of plays in the playbook that are for him.
I think obviously if we try to run the ball, he's not going to be in. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be in an obvious passing. I don't see this game. The reason I have a low count for him, I don't see this game as a game that we're going to get blown out or that we're going to need to. We shouldn't be passing the ball a tremendous amount.
But look who our coach is. He needs people to remind him to stick with
the run. The bubble screen.
Yes.
King.
He just wants to throw 0 to 3 yard passes on a consistent basis.
I remember when Ajay would rip off these runs after run, and he was having a. And then next thing we wouldn't see Ajay.
Yeah.
Touch the ball, and we're like, what happened?
What happened?
Did he say something at halftime? Did he insult somebody? Gase just doesn't seem to have a feel for the game as the game goes on.
Did he piss in water cup?
Yeah, I think Gase just really doesn't seems like he doesn't have a feel. Especially for the running game, and yes. I've said this before.
We have talked about it.
Yeah, he can't pick a running back to save his life. Hopefully, this year he's gonna make the right decision with these two guys, and we can go forward. So, bottom line, how do you predict the game? Are you gonna say we're gonna win? Right.
I'm sticking with my pick.
What's the score?
I think we do a pretty good job of keeping them out of the end zone. I think we don't get a touchdown in the first half. I think we get a couple field goals and we're probably behind at halftime. But with Gase and with Tannehill and with this whole thing, we've been traditionally a second half team that we come out and we score enough, 2 touchdowns and another field goal. So, 23-17.
23-17.
Mm-hmm.
So
3 field goals, 2 touchdowns.
Pretty close to what I was looking at. I think we're going to lose 16-20.
I don't like that.
I hate it. I hate it, but I see our team.
Alex is more interested in being right than...
I just got to be honest, and I'm going to say we're going to get a lot of field goals.
Yeah.
We're going to get 1 touchdown, and we're going to give up very little, but we're going to give up enough... Those 2 touchdowns, maybe 1 late, and we're going to give up 3 field goals. So it's going to be a field goal game all the way through with a couple of touchdowns sprinkled in. And unfortunately, I think we're going to end up in the short end of the stick. I pretty hope that it goes the other way and we win 20-16.
Yeah, that'd be good. So okay. Before we call this quits, I just want to say that I'm not the only crazy person that picked us to go 9-7.
Oh, you're going to talk about that guy you found somewhere?
I'll skip this guy right here, whose name I've just forgotten.
That's okay. That's I forgot brain. Him too.
But we're both fans of Armando.
Armando picked 9-7?
Armando picked 9-7.
You got to be kidding me.
I am not kidding you. I sent you the text earlier, but you don't read your text.
So. I don't read text during the day. I read them at night. You didn't say 9-7. You were 10-6.
No, I said 9-7. I'll go back and play the podcast for you. 9-7. That's 9-7. You said 9-7. Okay. Over and over.
Well, I'm 6-10.
All right.
Okay. Well, here we go. Yeah. So let's get football, and we'll get together here in a couple of days here, in a few days right after the game.
Can't wait.
Okay. Thank you.
Hopefully it's good fun.
All right.
Good night. Once again, thank you to the band Tartanic for the use of their music. Their latest album, Uncharted, can be found on their website, tartanic.net, or on iTunes.
Thank you for listening to Two Old Doll Fans. Join us next week for more news, analysis,